Barry, welcome to the station and welcome to the studio. Thanks for joining me. You recently undertook a serious trip to Sierra Leone. You went along with Bernie and Ted. Ted is from Douglas Credit Union and Bernie is the manager in Roscommon. How did it all come about, Barry?
Okay, well, most credit unions are part of an umbrella body called the Irish League of Credit Unions. And the Irish League of Credit Unions have an international foundation whereby they try and spread the credit union message out to developing countries. So they do work in Sierra Leone, in Gambia, in Ghana, in Ethiopia, and other African countries. So 6 years ago, I went to Ghana for two trips to assist in setting up credit unions in Ghana. And recently, in 2013, the Irish League of Credit Unions Foundation set up a program to establish credit unions in Sierra Leone. So okay. That's how I came about going there.
6 years ago, you set up?
In Ghana.
In Ghana.
Yeah.
With a view to spreading throughout Africa, I presume, yeah?
Yeah, and like they're very successful in Ghana. So okay. Sierra Leone was a different story in the fact that it had been had a 14-year-old civil war.
Okay.
And in 2014, it suffered Ebola. So it's a very misfortunate country in the fact that it suffered a lot of tragedy over
there. Because you mentioned to me, I met you last week at another function, and you mentioned that they attempted to set up a credit union branch or a facility in Sierra Leone, but unfortunately they were struck down by the Ebola.
Yeah, what happened was basically members couldn't, they couldn't gather together, so they couldn't go to the credit union office to pay their loans. So right. 10 credit unions survived out of the 15 that were there. And presently there's 28 credit unions in Sierra Leone, but they have only 7,000 members out of a population of 7 million people.
So 28
credit unions
with a total population of...
So a population of 7 million people, but there's only 7,000 members. So it's in its infancy. So
That's unbelievably small, isn't it?
It is. Like if you consider Ireland, the population is 4.5 million. We have nearly 3.5 million members in Ireland.
Wow.
Yeah.
And is it just because of, I know you mentioned people are over there working for what we call the equivalent of a euro a day. Is there just such bad poverty there?
It's the fifth poorest country in the world.
Okay.
And the poverty is, I've been to Africa a good number of times, but this certainly was overpowering. 2 years ago, we went to Freetown, which is the capital city, and we were looking at credit unions there. But this time around, we were in the bush. We were literally 8 hours from Freetown. We stayed in a town, and the credit union we visited was 10 miles away. It took us 2 hours to get to the credit union. The roads were so bad.
Wow.
But the credit union there was thriving, absolutely thriving. And you could see the good it was doing for people.
I read a story there. Bernie had a story up there how it helped people, such as a woman who took out a loan to buy 5 bananas a year ago and now has 2 vegetable stalls at the local market.
Yeah, we met her. She actually borrowed 20 cents. To buy 5 bananas.
You are joking.
That's the level. She eventually started building up her business. She had a shop. She was just finishing off a house and her son and daughter were going to school. And that would not have happened if she had not been a member of the credit union.
So for her to access 20 cents, she had to apply to the credit union?
Yes, yes. Now she was borrowing up to 100 euros, but then we were leaving because she was 2 or 3 years into her business. And she was the success story that we saw there. And that's certainly, when you see that, that just totally transforms somebody's
life. And 100 euros, of course, is the maximum over there, isn't it?
Because it would be.
That'd be equivalent to nearly a million here.
It would be, yeah. It would be.
So she had to go to the credit union in Sierra Leone to buy 5 bananas and borrow 20 cents.
No, she bought the bananas to sell them. And she sold them at a profit.
Okay.
So then she started building and trading more and more.
Maybe we need her over here.
I think
we do.
Yeah, we certainly do.
Does it play us up in Kildare Street? I could think of putting us straight away. But keeping the politics out of it. Talk us through the background and I suppose what the work it does. The Irish League of Credit Unions International Development Foundation. Talk us through what that is.
Okay, like in our situation, the credit union movement in Sierra Leone identified a number of credit unions that they wanted to assist. So we, myself and Bernie Moore, the manager from Roscommon, whom coincidentally I'd met for 5 minutes before.
Okay.
I spent 2 weeks with her. We went to this credit union that was 8 hours from Freetown and another 2 hours from the town where we were staying in. It's on the border of Liberia and Guinea. And they needed assistance. They were growing, but they needed help and assistance. So between the two of us, we have 50 years credit union experience. So we were able to advise them and make some suggestions to them and Hopefully we've done good, and we would have met their board of directors after spending two or three days there looking at their loans and looking at their whole setup. So we coach them, we meet the board, we give them a report, and the credit union movement in Sierra Leone will then follow it up to see whether they've taken on our recommendations or not. We hope they do. The credit unions we met 2 years ago have done that, and some of them have gone from strength to strength. So it's purely voluntary on their side to take on our recommendations.
So you're sitting over in your comfortable office here in Yale in the credit union as manager, and you're dealing with people's issues every day of the week. And we know there are, you know, a massive member base in Yale and Ardmore and Killa. And you apply, it's a kind of, you apply for this trip, don't you? You just don't decide to go on it, like.
Well, in this case, I was asked, would I go?
Okay. And you just decide then you want to go and you want to help these people to, I suppose, become more financially secure, is it?
Totally, and to try and see if they can better their lives. Like, we've done it here in Yale for a number of years.
Absolutely, yeah. People, but now you want to spread it global.
Totally.
So people over there are, you know, in malnourished, yes. They're in a war-torn, the aftermath of a combat war, and they're living in extreme poverty, and like to have the foresight to go and offer financial advice to these people, it must take amazing strength and durability, does it?
Well, like, we've seen it grow in other credit unions, and we certainly believe that Sierra Leone, the prospects there are huge for credit unions to grow. One thing I must say is we saw no malnourishment.
Okay.
At all.
But of course, I'm speaking because of the perception that we have,
yep,
that, you know, these are underpoverished, malnourished states and countries, but they're not really, are they?
No, look, they had food. There was food there. Now, the food itself for us was a challenge, but they had enough food. Like, the staple food there would be rice.
Okay, of course,
And they would eat rice three or four times a day. And like it would be like our potatoes.
Talk us through, you know, you have your lifestyle here in Yale, and this is what I'm having difficulty understanding. You have your lifestyle here in Yale. You get up in the morning, you have your breakfast, you do your day's work, you have your lunch, you have your dinner in the evening, whatever way you run your life. Talk us through a typical day in Sierra Leone or these impoverished places.
Well, most of the people we met, they were all getting by. They were either small traders selling five bananas or at a shop or selling fish, or else they were fixing machinery, or they were all getting by, because there's no social welfare over there. If you don't work, you don't survive.
Really?
Yeah, certainly, there's no weekly dole. So they have to get by, they have to get on. So agriculture would be basic, but they would grow crops.
A lot of them are self-sufficient, yeah?
Totally.
Or they have to be?
Totally, yeah.
And is that the difference between making it and losing it? So you have no option, do you?
Well, that's where we believe the credit unions can fit in to try and help them to bridge that gap and try and make them succeed and better their lives. And we, in every credit union we went to, we were in four credit unions. We went and we asked, show us members that have succeeded. And when we met these people, you could see they were actually transformed by credit union, by just a small loan and then the next bigger loan, another bigger loan. And that certainly would give you great faith and hope that what's happening with the credit unions over there certainly is monumental.
I'm just blown away that you have to go to a credit union to borrow 20 cents, such as the poverty.
Yeah.
How did that make you feel, like?
Humbled, very humbled. But like this person was borrowing large amounts as they...
Oh, yeah, yeah, but yeah. Initially it started...
Initially it took quite a while just to get your head around it, just look at the environment that you're actually in. Like, you have no electricity, you have no roads, you have no running water. And these people are surviving... And you can see exactly where credit union can fit in and help them out.
And of course, there's no banks or building societies over there, are there?
No, only about 15% of the people in Sierra Leone would have any facilities for any bank facilities. Or now that is changing. The banks are becoming a bit more aggressive in the larger towns than in the cities. But
and
certainly in these rural areas, there was no.
Who actually decided this was an area for the Irish League to get involved in?
The Irish League Credit Unions Foundation have assisted the Sierra Leone Credit Union movement over since 2013. And these people were the field officers out on the road, and they were saying, look, this credit union probably needs a bit of assistance. So they would have decided. So before we actually arrived in Sierra Leone, they would have had a programme as to which credit unions they felt needed assistance try and grow, or else if there were difficulties there, they might need assistance as to how to get out of those difficulties.
And when you were going out there four weeks ago, yeah, when you were heading out there with Burnley and Ted, like, you must have had certain perspectives and, I suppose, thoughts in your head. Like, did it actually blow you away by what you see over there? Did you expect what you see?
As I said, I taught in Africa for 3 years. I've been in Africa a number of times. This certainly was probably the poorest I've ever seen. But it certainly was, in my mind, the most rewarding, where you could see where you could actually transform people's lives just by the power of credit union alone.
And when people come up and thank you, would they know that you were instrumental in changing their lives?
Being honest, Jerry, there weren't too many white people around the place, so they obviously knew we were over there. And when it was explained to them that we took time out of our lives to help them, they were absolutely ecstatic. They were just couldn't be good enough to us. Like, at no stage did we feel anyway insecure. We felt the total opposite of anything. They were just so grateful for us coming over to help them.
And they were so receptive and so appreciative.
Totally. Yeah.
You must come back a different person.
You do for a few weeks, and then you get sucked back into the normal run of the day routine again. But it certainly would open your eyes.
And in a place like Sierra Leone and other impoverished, you don't have criminality, you don't have drug issues, you don't have unemployment, obviously. Is that where we're going wrong here, do you think?
I'll just give you one story. When we were visiting the furthest away credit union, it was 10 miles away and it took us nearly 2 hours to get there. We passed no car on that journey because the cars couldn't actually go on the road. And on our way to the credit union the first morning, there was a Jeep broken down and it was full of produce. And we passed the Jeep coming back that night, and the following day we went to the credit union again. We came back that night and no one had touched the Jeep or the produce. And I asked the driver, I said, like, if that was in Ireland, the wheels would be taken off, the place would be just literally stripped down. He said, no, that won't happen here because we will know who did it. Uh-huh. And that was it, basically. And, like, they're so community focused that they would not do that to their fellow members of their community.
Because obviously they'd be seen having a feast or selling the
very
produce.
Possibly, yep.
Selling the produce. Is there a police force over there?
I didn't see any police. No, probably they are in the towns in the capital city, but certainly in the villages we were in, I presume they're there, but we didn't see them.
And ratio men versus women, like, are there families over there? Is it predominantly male or female, or is it an equal? Are there families, married couples with children?
Oh yeah, certainly. Like, I wouldn't be sure about the breakdown, but from a credit union point of view, what we found, and this was a feature in all credit unions we've seen in Sierra Leone. You give the loans to the women, not to the men. The women were more dependent. And that was a feature in almost all the credit unions we went to. And
run that by me again. You give the loans predominantly.
Yes, the women would be more reliable to pay back the loan than the men would be.
That's a sweeping statement.
It is, and it's a fact. It is a fact. And not only in Sierra Leone, I noticed the same thing in Ghana, that they are more responsible, that they were the head of the household, and that they would ensure that the loan would be repaid. And that certainly was something that I hadn't expected originally when I went to Africa, but it certainly was a feature.
Wow. Did you feel lonely when you were coming back?
In what way, Jerry?
Did you feel, you know, that you've accomplished what you went to do, and does it fill you with hope? Does it fill
it
you
it
with
does,
interpretation?
It does. I would love to know, like, how these credit unions get on in a year or two, because there's such potential. It is huge, absolutely huge.
Electronically, for a credit union to survive, do they have electricity there? Do they have computers? What way do they run it like?
Very strange enough, the furthest credit union we went to, which was 10, 12 hours away, they were actually able to send their accounts into the capital city by using WhatsApp. Yes, and trying to get your head around that now. So they had there's no tower roads. They had some solar electricity. They were given a dongle by the Sierra Leone credit union movement to use. And they were actually able to send their accounts on a monthly basis to Freetown by WhatsApp. Everybody has phones. That was difficult to get their head around as well. They might be deeply impoverished, but everybody had a phone. Because the phones were run by private companies.
Okay.
But like, WhatsApp was everywhere. You know, it was just, that took quite a lot to get your head around.
So they have WhatsApp. It's
they have,
huge.
They have phones. Yep, totally.
They obviously don't have Facebook and Twitter and all that.
They probably have, but WhatsApp seems to be the main.
So they were able to transfer files 10 or 12 miles away to the nearest.
10 hours drive away.
From
the crazy up to the headquarters in the capital city.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah. So like, there's a lot of anomalies that you see there. That certainly was an anomaly to see the use of phones. Everybody had a phone.
What was the biggest thing that, you know, the earth-moving memory of Sierra Leone that you have?
Like, there were a few issues. Like, our accommodation was rough. Our food, choice of food was rough. That was for 7 or 8 days. So we knew it was going to face us, so we just got over that. But certainly we felt that the sense of humour that people had, despite all the poverty and all the hardship, people were very happy in their own world. And you say to yourself, you know, can we try and make them a bit happier with credit union? Like in the first credit union we went to, there was a new road being built. And you say to yourself, are they better off without that road or are they better off with that road? Because with the road comes what they call progress and probably, you know. But they were getting on with their lives. They all seemed to be very happy. So amongst all the poverty and destitute, they were getting on.
Is it a case of what you never have, you never miss?
Very possibly. Very possibly.
And you think that's the issue there? The reason I'm asking the question now, if they become so successful that they become victims of their own success, do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Is there a danger of that?
There possibly is. That's probably one of the fallouts of progress, I don't know. It depends on what perspective you take.
Do you ever see, you know, when you come back to Ireland and you come back down to your office in Yale, and I'm sure it must have taken an almighty strength to come back to reality here, bearing in mind what you dealt with over. Do you see that they could actually teach us lessons rather than we teach them?
Look, we said to the four credits we went to, we said that we've learned so much from you as well. And they were saying, like, what? And we were saying, like, they engage with their members. They go out and they meet their members and they market, they go out to the markets, and we don't do that anymore. We use social media, but they physically go out. There were a few other things that they use that we probably would have used 30 years ago, we don't use anymore. And the main thing was just human contact. Like, there were people calling into the office just for a chat and just to see, you know, any news in the local community and whatever. And, like, we're probably losing that, but, well, certainly in the financial services, but all the machines and the banks and whatever, nobody wants to talk to anybody anymore.
Because, like, I'm just, you know, them and us kind of scenario. I apply for a loan today. I have to provide pay slips. I have to provide my address for the last 6 or 7 years. I have to provide, you know yourself from the, and that's not your fault, it's the central bank are governing a lot of stuff now. Over there, it must be made so simple.
Totally. I'll just give an example. For the last 4 days, we held a workshop in Freetown, which is the capital city. And three of us picked certain areas that we'd noticed in the credit unions, and we developed sort of a workshop around those three areas. And one of the areas that I was looking at was loan appraisals. And I brought over a presentation that I would use over here for loan appraisals to use over in Sierra Leone. It was a 30-page presentation, and the first 15 pages that I had for the Irishman were all related to regulation and legislation. So the first 15 pages of my presentation did not apply at all. Because there's literally no regulation, literally no legislation. So like half the presentation I would have used in Ireland would not even have applied over there because it was just Irish law and regulation.
The manager of Sierra Leone, he's probably just a member of the community, is he? He doesn't have an office like you, or he doesn't have a secretary, or he doesn't, you know, he's probably an ordinary Joe Soap walking in the street, is he?
In most cases, the managers were female.
Okay, because of course the women are...
Yes, the women are the key to the whole organisation over there.
That is amazing, because we look at social media, we look at the world of news, and women are very much inferior. And that obviously isn't the case, is it?
It would be the case from a credit union point of view, but from a society point of view, it would be very different. Okay. The male would dominate, it would be mostly Muslim society, and the male would dominate. But certainly in credit union world, it was the total opposite. And that was difficult to get your head around, but it was good.
I'd say you were gasping for a pint by the time you came back, were you?
I certainly was. It was quite hot over there. And we came back to the cold spell. I froze when I got off the plane. But
what would your average temperature be over there?
It was sort of mid-30s. And we were far inland. But as you got closer to the coast, the temperature dropped that little bit. But we were on our toes morning, noon and night. You started at 7, you finished at 7. Then you had to write reports. So you go back to your guest house or your hotel, you have no electricity. So a lot of our work we were actually doing with miners' lamps in our heads, typing up reports.
Did you feel anywhere threatened there?
At no stage. At no
Safe
stage whatsoever.
Safe as a house on fire?
At no stage whatsoever. We had a driver with us, and we had somebody from the Sierra Leone credit union movement with us all the time. But they were just so appreciative of the fact that we were after taking time out to go over there. I'd say if anybody laid a finger on us, they would have been.
You're probably more in danger here in Ireland than you are over
there.
It's amazing. Lydia Welch is in here on work experience. Lydia, do you have any questions for Barry?
No, I just want to say that was really, really interesting. You know, think about the women, you know, being more in charge of the loans than the men would be. I thought that was mad because you'd think it'd be the other way around.
But you, as a young woman, would you like that to be applicable here in Ireland?
Definitely.
But it is amazing. I never knew that. And you, as a young lady growing up in the world, I'm sure you got a different perception to what we were painted at my Barry. Yeah,
yeah, definitely. No, it was just absolutely fascinating, like the work you were doing and everything, and helping those people over there set up their lives. I think it's absolutely fascinating. So well done. It was really, really, really interesting.
Barry, would you go back?
I would love to go back and see. I would love to go back and see whether they progressed or not. And I hope I just hope they do. It's just, it's so fragile over there at the moment. Like, they have issues with credit control, for example. Their culture says that they don't say no to a loan. And that's a problem. You have to say no certain times.
As in,
it's in their culture.
If you apply for a loan, you get it.
They generally don't say no. And that's been an issue in one or two of the credit unions we saw, that they must learn to say no.
And why would they say no in such impoverished areas?
Maybe because the member wasn't long enough, it wasn't a member long enough, or member was looking for too much money to borrow initially.
Okay.
And culturally, that's an issue that we said you have to address that. Because if you don't, you will have huge credit control issues trying to chase loans.
So over here, the ethos of the Irish League of Credit Unions is we're here to help you. You're there to help them over there, but you have to be more firm with who you help, is it?
Yeah. Like over
that's
here, we would have a lot more criteria we would use in assessing a loan. They wouldn't have over there. But we said, look, you just need to learn to say no.
But you wouldn't have bad debtors over there, would you?
You would, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. And the credit union we were in was close to the Liberian and the Guinea border, so guys could just disappear overnight and gone to Liberia and Guinea. And
but sure, all they'd be getting us a couple of euro.
It might be a couple of euro to you and me, but to them it could be a massive sum of money.
What's the highest amount a person can get a loan there in Sierra Leone?
It would depend on each of the credit unions. We went to one credit union, it was Mombali Teachers Credit Union, very successful. Hugely successful, and they were all teachers, so they had payroll deduction, so they were guaranteed their money to come in from the teacher salaries. Okay. And they would have been dealing in loans of 150, 200, 250 euros, which would be alien to the smaller credit unions that we were in.
Okay, and like, you reckon they have to start saying no more often?
Yeah, they have to.
Even to women?
Yeah.
And you're surrounded here now by, you have a woman on your side there.
Yeah.
Lydia, I'm blown away.
Same, absolutely. Like, it's just absolutely fascinating because we're so accustomed to our own world here.
Yeah.
Hearing all those stories is just absolutely amazing. I think it's phenomenal.
Because Lydia is in college and is here on work experience, would you ever consider taking your vast experience to schools to transition your
students? I'm due to go to public school next week to speak to transition years.
Okay. I think it's a must. Would you agree, Lydia?
Definitely, because I know even as a college student, a lot of students would obviously struggle financially or wouldn't know how to budget their money or how to manage their money. So I think it'd be very valuable to be teaching that to, like, say, TY students, fifth year students, because when you are going into college, you're like, oh, I'm on my own now. I have to feed myself, pay rent and all that kind of stuff. So trying to regulate it is difficult. So it'd be really, really valuable information to a student.
Yep.
And Barry, you mentioned there before I let you go, and I thank you for your time. You mentioned you'd like to know that they have succeeded. Is there a forum in place that you can check up via Skype or telephone?
I've contacted with some of the people from the Sierra Leone Credit Union movement, and I will, just out of pure interest, I will email them in 3 months, time, 6 months, time, and ask them how is this credit union
WhatsApp
on, or WhatsApp, yeah, or how is this credit union getting on? And I would just to. Just to see, I would love to see them succeed because the potential is absolutely huge.
Where to next? As in, where would you envisage going to help people after this?
I'm going back to my office now to help the people of you all in the next half an hour or so.
Well said, Barry Tracy. No wonder they call you Uncle Barry.
Thank you.
Barry, thanks for dropping in. It's been an absolute mind-blowing experience and story. I'm sure you must have had a few sleepless nights afterwards, did you?
Yeah, certainly did. But look, I believe it's all worthwhile.
And it's all about helping out.
That's it, yeah.
Amazing, Lydia.
Fascinating. Absolutely fascinating.
Barry, thanks for dropping in. We appreciate it. And I was going to play ABBA with Money, 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 but I have to go into an ad break because I'm blown away by it.
Okay, thanks
Barry.
Thanks,
cheers.
Thank you very much.